Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Good morning, I'm Andrew Bogish. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, protecting commercial vehicles and offering specialized coverages designed to protect your business. More at progressivecommercial.com. Bryce Harper's return to Washington began with boos and two strikeouts. He ended it with three hits, including a two-run homer and an 8-2 Phillies win. Harper says Philly fan support helped him ignore those boos.
Being able to have them back at home, knowing that they're cheering and screaming at me, through the TVs and stuff, and then also having the huge section in right field really fired me up.
The Philly fans that made the short trip to D.C. chanted, "We got Harper" at one point. Adding injury to insult, Nat shortstop Trey Turner to miss at least a few weeks with a broken right index finger. The Mets held off the Marlins last night 6-5. Same final the Dodgers over the Giants. That included a Cody Bellinger grand slam off Madison Bumgarner. The Mariners 7-1 for the first time ever after a 2-1 victory over the Angels. The A's blanked the Red Sox 1-0. And the Rays shut out the Rockies 4-0 with Blake Snell king 13-7. Cleveland manager Terry Francona signing a 2-year extension this morning, locking him up through 2022. Russell Westbrook, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 21 assists in the Thunder's 119-103 victory over the Lakers. Wilt Chamberlain has the only other 20-20-20 game in NBA history. DeMarcus Cousins, a season-high 28 points to lead the Warriors past the Nuggets, 116-102. Golden State now leads Denver by 2 with 5 to go for number one out west. And Virginia Tech's Buzz Williams, reportedly the new head coach at Texas A&M. I'm Andrew Bogish.
From CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Our next guest made national news not long ago when he retired from the NFL, and many said it was so that he could continue to smoke marijuana. He played for the Dallas Cowboys for the last couple of years and was suspended by the NFL. When on the field, David Irving was one of the most productive defensive tackles in the NFL. And now he has moved on past football and has become a spokesperson for U.S. Weed Channel and will be one of the hosts for the live launch of Benefit for the Deaf coming up on April the 19th in Las Vegas, a show produced by music mogul Charlie Mack. Former Dallas Cowboy David Irving joins us this morning on the show. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing all right, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. My pleasure. Now, I've read interviews where you have wanted to kind of clarify your reason for stepping away from football. Many people have said, oh, David Irving is retiring just so he can smoke weed. You said that's not the truth. That's a fallacy. What's the truth?
The truth is I'm stepping away for a much bigger purpose. It's about everything as a whole, cannabis as a whole, especially with this NFL feeding us opioids. We get hurt all the time. We're going to need something to manage our pain and our injuries. And, you know, I just think it's really unfair that we're forced to take hydrocodones, especially with the epidemic that's going around. You know, marijuana is much milder, is much safer. There's no there's no, I don't know, downfall. Do you know of any?
No, I'm with you in lockstep there in terms of the safety of marijuana versus this crazy opioid crisis that we have in America. I wonder what the culture is behind the NFL's closed doors. Tell us, when you go to a team doctor and you have pain and you say, what should I take? What's the protocol there?
When you ask what can you take in the NFL, they're going to give you, for one, ice and stem. No matter what it is, you're getting ice and stem. And if that doesn't help, then, you know, you're taking opioids. You're taking, I have hydrocodone, 10 milligrams right now. It's just been sitting here because I refuse to take them. I'd rather use cannabis.
And if you pose this within NFL circles, what do they say to you?
Well, it's honestly a taboo, to be honest with you. It's not really something you could go to your medical staff and say or bring up. Usually if you bring it up, it's you and your fellow teammates talking about how bad you're hurting, and you guys are going to do it regardless and try to sort of hide from the test. The only way we can make a change in this league is if we come together and stand up, and I think we need to take it to the NFLPA. I think that the NFL uses a fear tactic to keep people from stepping up and being outspoken and trying to get a change. For example, if anyone has anything to say about an issue in the NFL, what do? Treat you like Colin Kaepernick. And in most cases, it's either that or you have to quit like me to make a stand.
Former Cowboys defensive tackle David Irving joins us here on the show. So here's the only thing. While I agree with you that the opioid crisis is crazy and pain medication and painkillers and pharmaceuticals are killing America and it's ridiculous that we don't allow you to use marijuana for the pain, you also knew the rules and you knew that you couldn't smoke marijuana and you knew that you could take those painkillers. So where was your decision-making knowing that you were willingly breaking the rules?
Well, honestly, you know, they have this little deal where supposedly they only drug test you once a year for street drugs. You get an email saying you will get tested one time before between 420 and August 18th. So within that time, if you pass your test, then you're good to go. And see, me, I've been using since middle school, so, you know, I knew that I couldn't afford to fail a test. Never felt one in general with the Chiefs in college, high school, anything like that, or even with the Cowboys until this time, because you're right, it seems, you know, pretty simple. You know the rules. It is what it is. Well, funny thing, on August 15th, I wound up getting a test back in camp. It was for street drugs, so I held out the whole time, just like most people do. So I had my street test, passed it, immediately started using. We're in California for our camp. I guess a couple of days later, I had a steroids test. Now, anyone knows who I am, you can see that I don't take steroids. But I guess I failed my steroids test unknowingly. A week later, I had another test. And I'm like, okay, is this for steroids? They said, no. I was like, okay, this is street drugs? They said, yes. I was like, oh, man, I'm thinking I failed. I was like, did I fail my street test? They said, no, you passed it. What happened was, you failed your steroids test, and now we can test you for anything. And so they did, and that's how they got me on the program. And, I mean, there's really no one to hold anyone accountable. It's crazy. My PED test had no illegal substances in it. I guess they said my testosterone was a little high. But whatever it is, that got me back. That got me on the program, and now I'm tested three times a week. And it's pretty much impossible to succeed at that time.
So you didn't take steroids, but you failed the steroid test because your testosterone was high?
Yep. If you look at any picture of me ever, I don't have muscles just popping out. I'm not the most committed gym rat. I got, you know, a little winter weight on me all the time. Yeah, I've never taken steroids.
So when you talk to other players, I mean, is it one of these things where everybody knows, okay, just don't smoke weed on 420 and right before that and just lay off it for 2 months, and then once the season comes around, a lot of players do use marijuana to ease the pain? Is everybody kind of understanding that that's the cycle you're all on behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. Behind the scenes, we're on our own whole cycle. It's safe to say at least 80% of every NFL team indulges. And that's not just players, that's the NFL as a whole. I'm talking staff, coaches, medical, like doctors and everybody. I'm sure of it.
You got everyone knows. You got doctors and medical people within the league smoking weed around the same testing policy?
Oh, no, I don't think. See, that's the thing. I don't know their testing policy. No one does. All I know is you never hear basketball players in trouble. You never hear baseball players in trouble. You never hear hockey players in trouble. You never hear UFC players in trouble. You never hear coaches in trouble. Who do you hear in trouble with this? Football players.
David Irving.
And I don't agree with it.
David Irving joins us, former Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle. Now, you say you've been diagnosed with multiple mental illnesses, manic depression, borderline schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar disorder. When did all of these come about in your life? When were you diagnosed with them?
I was diagnosed about a year ago now, once I failed my weed test for the NFL. They actually sent me to a rehab center. I had to go live in there. I had to give my daughter up to whoever was available, actually, and go live on site for about 3 months. At first, I thought it was a horrible experience, but it wasn't. That's when I was diagnosed. I wound up getting a lot of treatment, and it wasn't so much about drugs. You know, my thing is, how are you going to give me treatment about smoking weed? I'm not addicted. It's just marijuana. What's the big deal? And the therapist agreed. They said, yeah, we're not here to talk about marijuana use. We're here to talk about why you even picked up a blunt or a joint in the first place. What's going on internally? That's what we need to deal with. And not only that, I got to be around people who were on these opioids, and I see firsthand how it ruins lives. I got to talk to these people. I met some lifelong friends in there. And it's a shame how the opioids are killing people. It's like the deadliest detox. And we're being forced to say it just doesn't make any type of sense to me.
But this is an incredible, volatile cocktail of mental illness that you say you're dealing with. I mean, manic depression, borderline schizophrenia, PTSD, and bipolar. How do you make it through most days? I mean, there must be some type of medication that you need to take beyond just using marijuana.
Actually, not really, man. Marijuana has, you know, CBD and THC, and it really handles everything. It handles everything from mental illnesses. I mean, we're going depression, any type of mood, stabilizer, mood swing, anything like that. Marijuana will account for it. And let's talk about CBD. CBD actually protects your brains. I don't know if you know this, but our bodies actually have receptors for this stuff. So I don't know, that says something on its own. The CBD helps with pain, inflammation, and here's the funny part. A lot of people have this negative stigma about even CBD, and if you ask me, it's because they're ignorant. They do not understand. People think that when you take CBD and you're using its healing properties that you're going to get high. No, not at all. You only get that psychoactive effect from THC, which still has medical benefits. So high or not, you know, either way you look at it, there are medical benefits from it. They're giving it to kids with cancer, for crying out loud. They're giving it to dogs to add years to their lives. This stuff works.
Well, and I think we've seen America ease up on the criminalization of weed, at least in terms of public perception. And you see CBD oil sold a lot of places. I mean, over-the-counter, plenty of places. I just wonder, you know, weed, I agree with you, needs to be decriminalized in many ways, especially around the NFL and around sports. But I think you might be a little delusional if you think you can deal with schizophrenia and bipolar just by smoking weed. Don't you think you need a more significant kind of medical look at that and treatment beyond just smoking marijuana? Those are really serious mental illnesses to deal with.
Well yeah, but that, again, that's what the NFL said. I mean, here I am on the phone with you, and you hear one voice. I don't know. I'm not sitting here talking to myself all day. If you ask me, I feel like the thing is with my test results, I think we're forgetting to take into account all the head hits we take. I've had about four or five concussions. Some have helped me out of games, and well, I haven't had one brain scan. Don't you guys think that's a coincidence or that's funny? I mean, I twist the ankle, I'm getting my ankle scanned. I break a wrist, I'm getting my wrist scanned. We have a concussion, we don't do anything about it. We sleep under the carpet.
You know, not to cut you off. You are mm-hmm. disappointed that the narrative around you has been, oh, David Irving quit to smoke weed. And you say it's about a much bigger picture than that. And I can hear that in your story and your voice. But then I look at that Instagram video that you posted, and you seem to be smoking weed in it as you announce your retirement. And that mm-hmm. obviously looks like, oh, that's why he's doing it. Do you feel like that was a mistake to be smoking in the middle of your quote-unquote retirement announcement on Instagram?
Oh, not at all. I'm sure Roger loved that. Not at all. If to those people, I mean, I've smoked without being a part from the NFL. I mean, that's what everyone was complaining about.
So but me, you can see how that would alter the narrative, right? I mean,
yeah, I do, and I see how. And for those who think that way, to be honest, I'm not doing this for those people. I have nothing to say to those people. The people that I'm doing it for know what I'm doing. They get the bigger picture. And for those simple-minded people, I don't have anything to say to them. And this isn't for them. Everybody who I'm doing this for has sent me. They've been very supportive. I've had way more supporters than haters. Unrelated to football, you know, I get a lot of support from veterans and retired veterans. You know, they're kind of in the same situation. They deal with all these things, talk about mental illness, and then they're forced to take opioids, and they can't indulge in the use of medical marijuana either. So it is what it is. I mean, I smoke all the time. I mean, it is what it is. And if you look at it the way I look at it, I medicate all the time. I'm sure I wouldn't have got in trouble or anyone would have had that stigma if I popped pills on the Instagram live video. I popped my prescription opioids. You know, so I'm not worried about those people. I'm very comfortable, and I'm doing this for a reason, and I'm standing in it. No apologies.
David Irving joins us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dallas Cowboys have dealt with drug suspensions. Randy Gregory, another one, and it feels like the Cowboys have had a number of these situations pop up. Do you view the Cowboys as having a problem within the NFL with dealing with players that use drugs? Do you feel like perhaps they're hemmed in because they're more open-minded, but the NFL hasn't evolved? How do you view the Dallas Cowboys within all of this?
Definitely the second option. Jerry has done a great deal to help out with us and all his problem children, as he says. And like you said, his hands are tied to the NFL. It doesn't matter. Jerry Jones is not the NFL, no matter how popular or how great he is. And truth is, NFL doesn't allow it. But our team, my former team, they were Jerry did his best. He did. He pulled a lot of strings. He did a lot of things he could do to help. And as you see, he's still helping out Randy Gregory. It's a little different. You know, so it's a reason I'm not there. But as you know, Randy Gregory is a couple of tests ahead of me. But he's still there. And that they're supporting him. They always have. He gets it. I think we're all kind of hoping that we could do what we do and survive until the laws change.
But it sounded like what you said about your conversations with Jason Garrett, that he was not supportive. So sounds like Jerry Jones was supportive of you guys, but Jason Garrett said, we don't need you. Go smoke all the weed that you want. Retire right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I came in after I was able to walk again from my ankle injury I had back in October. And I went into my meeting rooms like normal. He called me out, called me in his room, asked me what the hell am I thinking. And I'm just confused. I don't know what he's talking about. And, he was like, you should just quit. We don't need you. We don't need you here. You're not helping our team at all. You're a distraction. He said, you've been missing drug tests, haven't you? I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, well, why don't you just quit? We don't need you anyways. You can go be an actor. You do acting, right? They don't drug test there. You know, just go out and get out of here. He told me, don't come back to the facility. Just go, just get my treatment and go home.
Was he aware of the mental illness test that you had taken, that you tested positive for schizophrenia and bipolar?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. It's kind of them who sent me to do all these results and testing and whatnot. And I mean, I really either they don't know or they're insensitive. I believe I'm gonna lean towards insensitive a little more. Jason Garrett and I have never really got along. To be honest with you, not many people get along with this man.
Why not?
I wish I could put a finger on the man. I really do. I don't think it's just one reason. It's not just one person that doesn't get along with him. It's a lot of people. I feel like, if I could say anything, I feel like he needs to be more comfortable with people of color, to be honest with you. This is a league where there's a lot of people of color around, and you're going to have to deal with us. And if you don't know how to talk to us or relate to us, or I don't know. It's a tough position. But we just never got along, and he's the only person I haven't got along with in pretty much all my careers in football, him and Coach Rhodes.
So you specifically think that Jason Garrett has problems connecting with people of color?
Well, yeah, I think he does. I think it's a little uncomfortable for him. I'm not to say the man's racist. He's definitely not racist. Do not get me wrong. I don't know. It's just maybe he's socially awkward. And me personally, I feel like he has a problem. I know he has a problem with me because I don't necessarily, I guess, work as hard as he thinks I should work to be as good as I am at football. I feel like Jason's one of those guys where, you know, growing up in football, he was always the second-hand man or the third-string guy. And I feel like he had to work his ass off to even be able to step on the field with some of these guys, where me, I could roll over out of the bed with a hangover and go outperform anybody. And I don't think he likes that.
Before I let you go, how was your upbringing? You grew up in Compton. Was it difficult?
Growing up in Compton was difficult, but I loved it. It made me who I am today. If it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be playing football.
Were you surrounded by drugs, surrounded by violence, surrounded by broken families?
All of that, actually. Yeah, all of that. No one in my family did drugs, but step right outside, got friends here, neighbors here, a lot of things. Go to the schools, it was a lot of that. But it made me tough. It made me who I am today. My mom told me when I was 7, we don't have money for college. You're either going to get a scholarship or you're going to the Marines, like my father did. And I wound up with a scholarship.
Is your dad still around?
He is still around. Retired as a master sergeant. He's chilling out in L.A. right now.
As a guy from the Marines, how does he feel about you and your path now?
He loves what I'm doing. He gets the bigger picture. Hmm. He knows it's not about just smoking weed. He feels like I have an opportunity to be the face of change, actually. I'm not going to lie, he was skeptical at first, but everyone was when they just heard I retired out of the blue without me talking to anyone. But once I sat down and explained it to him and explained what I'm doing, I have printouts of little fun facts of CBD and THC versus opioids and this, that, and the other. And now that my dad could kind of see what I'm doing behind the scenes, we share what's said on Instagram. I've been moving around here. I've been moving around talking. I've been working since I'm not in the NFL, you know. And everywhere I go, I'm getting support. I even hear us talking about, some people don't support this, that, or the other. But to be honest with you, in person, it's been all positivity. It's been all love, man.
It's good to hear. David Irving, former Dallas Cowboy, has signed on as a spokesman for U.S. Weed Channel and will be one of the hosts for the live launch of Benefit for the Deaf on April the 19th, coming up at a couple of Fridays in Las Vegas. Show is going to be produced by music mogul Charlie Mack, so check that out. David, I appreciate the candor, man. I appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning. Thanks so much, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
David Irving joining us this morning on the show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.